Father, we just pray today that you would remove every barrier to prophetic revelation, Lord. We pray that you'll give us an awareness of the unseen realm, Lord. We pray that you will weaponize us from heaven, Lord. We pray that and invite the sword of the Spirit into this place, oh God, that the word of God will come to us like a fire, Lord. We pray that you'll give us eyes of wonder, backbones of steel, Lord, and our bellies full of the fire and passion of God. I pray today, Lord, that many people will hear the word, Lord, and that they will walk out changed, Lord, different from the way they walked in, Lord. I pray that some of them will make a U-turn today, Lord, from the path of death, Lord, going down into hell, Lord. They will U-turn, Lord, and go up to heaven, Lord. I pray, oh God, today that you will intervene in our lives, and I give you the glory and I give you the praise. What we have not, give us. What we know not, teach us. And what we are not, make us, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, you may be seated in the presence of God. I want to welcome those of you on live stream as well. How to discern the right door? That's my question today. You know, I'm at a stage of life where I'm constantly contemplating the decisions I have made, whether or not I made the right choices in life, or whether I walked through the right doors, or if I could go back in time, maybe turn back the clock, are there things I would have done differently? People often ask me the question, Pastor, now that you're older, what do you want to be? I want to be younger. Amen. I want to address this issue because I don't want any one of you to make the wrong decisions that will lead you down the path of pain and disappointment, and sometimes even leading down into hell itself. When a person says, you have made a right decision, or I've made a right decision, what does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? A right decision is a decision that has a good outcome. Amen. Everybody say outcome. And we live in a world where a good income is always very important, but I tell you this, a good outcome is better than a good income. Amen. And how does the Bible define a good outcome? Well, here are a few examples. Honor, joy, peace, long life, blessings, health, prosperity, favor. And of course, the greatest ultimate good outcome is eternal life. Amen. So let's face it, where you are today is a sum of the decisions that you have made. You know, we make our decisions and then our decisions make us, good or bad. So how do I make decisions that will result in the good outcomes of life? How do I ensure that I am always entering into the right doors? That's what I want to address with you today. My text, I got two different texts, but the first one is in Proverbs 15 and verse 24. It says that the way of life winds upward for the wise, right? That he may turn away from hell below. I want you to notice the two opposing trajectories, all right? One goes up, one goes down. Your life ought to be winding upwards toward heaven, not spiraling downwards toward hell. And you know which way you are headed to. Now, the word for path in the Hebrew is the word magal. And the magal simply means circular. It's like climbing up a mountain, right? When you're climbing a mountain, you don't get to the top by climbing a straight path, all right? You circle up the mountain. And in the same way, we are circling up Mount Zion. The big question is, are you circling upward toward heaven, or are you spiraling down into destruction? Which direction are you headed today? Now, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many, many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now watch this, please, right? There are two gates or two doors, two ways, two outcomes, and two groups. The first door is the door called narrow, and this door leads down a path called difficult. The second door is a door called wide, and this door leads down a path called broad or easy. The path called difficult leads to life, and few choose this. By life, I believe that the Lord was referring to not just eternal life, but also abundant life here on this earth. The path called broad leads to destruction, and many enter into it. These are the two outcomes in life, heaven or hell. And every decision you make is moving you up in one direction or the other. Let me ask you a question today. Of all the decisions that you have made in your life, which is the one that will matter 100 years from now? Because the main goal of life is to be with Jesus in the next. So my question to you is, do you have
eternal life abiding in you. It's a yes or no answer. Do you have eternal life? Is Jesus in your heart? Do you commune with him every day? Or are you ignoring the Holy Spirit every day? Are you ignoring the presence of God? You know, Billy Graham was once asked the question, what is your first reaction in heaven? You know what he said? He said, relief, relief that I made it. It's a humble man. And I wanted to tell you this, my friends, your salvation must be assured. Paul said to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling, amen. Now, the first door that Jesus told us to enter is the narrow door. This door leads to eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, the door is narrow. There are no five ways, four ways, three ways, two ways to heaven. There's only one way. His name is Jesus, amen. Jesus is not one of many ways. He's not even the best of several ways. He is the only way. He is the only way. And this is a statement worthy of all acceptance. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Hallelujah. Now, the word this used to describe the Christian life is the word difficult. Boy, oh boy, if you think that the Christian life is easy, I don't know which gospel you have heard. I don't know which preacher you have heard. This gospel of the kingdom will cost you everything. This is the gospel that the apostles preach. It is a difficult path, ladies and gentlemen. There is another door called wide. It leads down a Broadway. Can you imagine the fascination about Broadway today? This path leads to destruction and to hell, and many go in by it. Don't fall for the gospel of the easy way. Don't be deceived by that poisonous message. Please listen, my friends. Once saved, not always saved. You have got to keep you have got to assure yourself and make sure that you're walking in the light as he is in the light. Ladies and gentlemen, you raised your hands 25 years ago. That means nothing. That means nothing. You have got to have a daily walk with Jesus Christ. Come on. You have got to spend time with him. Come on, I'm telling you this. Some of you have been ignoring Jesus. Some of you have been ignoring the Holy Spirit. You know what it's like to me? You know, you have a friend and the friend keeps ignoring you, keeps ignoring you. You try to reach out, they keep ignoring you. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? That friend is going to back off. That friend is not going to speak to you anymore because of the fact that you keep ignoring. Listen, we cannot ignore the Holy Spirit anymore. Come on, amen, hallelujah. Let me talk about doors for a few moments. There are many doors that you will encounter in your lifetime, many doors. Each door will lead down a certain pathway. Some doors will lead you to great joy and fulfillment, others to great pain and disappointment. Some doors will lead you to fruitfulness and others to a prison. Some doors, they come in every size, shape, and form. Some look very appealing and some look very drabby. There are doors that will lead you to your destiny. There are doors that will lead you away from your destiny. There are some doors that will lead you to right friends in life who will propel you forward. And there are some doors that will lead you to the wrong crowd that can pull you down to hell. Amen. I read somewhere yesterday that if all you do is to hang around turkeys, you'll never know that you can fly. Yes. There are doors that will lead you to a future partner. And when it comes to this, to a spouse, let me just say that outside of salvation, there is no greater decision you can make than the person you marry. That's true. When it comes to a spouse, many people often choose the most appealing door, but that's not necessarily the right door. So choose wisely, because that door is going to bring you lots of joy and happiness, or it can bring you a lot of pain and regret. Never judge a door by its appearance. Amen. Now, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to understand about doors is that God is not in every open door. Come on. Just because a door is open does not mean it is from God. Satan has doors as well. And the enemy has resources. And the enemy has a real estate portfolio as well. The job offer that came from nowhere that offers you more money, but you don't have the peace of God. That man or that woman that showed up at the right time, just when you were lonely, just when you were vulnerable, and will pull you down from everything that you have built. Or that business partner who seemed to be so impressive, whoa, but he had no integrity.
A preacher once said, the enemy doesn't show up ugly. He knows exactly what you've been praying for. He studies you. He knows you. And so he tries to package something and opens a door for you. And you think it's the door of God, but it's a door of Satan. And it will lead you down a path of great pain. He knows your weaknesses, my friends. And that's how people end up in wrong marriages. That's how people end up with wrong jobs, wrong businesses, wrong cities, and even in the wrong season. Not because they were not praying, but because they stopped discerning. They didn't wait for the Lord. Let the peace of Christ be your compass. Amen. If the opportunity is right, but your spirit is uneasy, it is God telling you, wait or no. Amen. If God says no, it is to protect you. If God says wait, it is to teach you. If God says yes, it is to expand you. Come on. There's an interesting illustration in the Old Testament to help us discern the rise and fall in your spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 8, it says, and of the tribe of Levi, he says, let your Tumim and your Urim be with your Holy One. Now in the Old Testament, the ways that determined the will of God was this, was through the Urim and the Tumim. These were two stones that were kept in the breastplate of the ephod of the high priest who wore it, and God would speak through these stones. Urim means lights or to make visible, and Tumim means perfections. So when someone came to the high priest and wanted to ask for guidance, the priest would take out these stones and he would ask the Lord for guidance. And if the stones would light up, it means yes. But if the stones remain dull, it is no. And by this, they knew the will of God in the Old Testament. When the stones lit up, it means yes. All right. And David oftentimes used this. Every time he made a decision, he would say, bring me the Urim. Bring me the Tumim. That's how he decided, because they used that for direction. But in the New Testament, we've got something superior to the Urim and the Tumim. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. And we have to learn. He is the lights and the perfection within us. And you've got to learn how to judge by the rise and the fall of the Spirit. So when you make a critical decision and you ask the Holy Ghost for a direction, learn to recognize the rise and the fall of the Spirit within you. When you feel a rise in the Spirit, and when you feel a sense of the peace and security and clarity. Oh, it's often a yes, my friends. I've experienced this many, many times. I'm telling you, I walk into a place, I walk into a building, and there's a rise in the Spirit. I said, Lord, is this a place for us? And you feel this acceleration of the Spirit. There's something that rises, and there's something that stirs within you. And it's the Urim and the Tumim within you that God has placed. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. Woo! Let the peace of Christ rule and reign in your heart. Amen. You know, the first time I was a young believer many, many years ago, and the first time I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, the first time I was praying about something, and all of a sudden I hear in my spiritual ears, I heard this. I heard him say to me, Philippians 4:6. I opened my Bible and turned to Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Amen. And the peace of God will guide you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are praying, make sure you have thanksgiving in the prayer. When you're praying something and you're asking God for counsel, or you're asking God for something, lift up the prayer and then say thank you. Because when you say thank you, it's like putting a stamp on the postcard. And the postcard goes into the post office in heaven, where they sort out all the prayers and it gets to the right department because you got a stamp there. Hallelujah. As thanksgiving. A lot of Christians, they just pray and they just send their prayers up to God, and the prayer goes up to the post office in heaven, and guess what happens? Return to sender. Hallelujah. You don't get your prayers answered. And David, King David, you know, ladies and gentlemen, never lost the battle. And the reason for that was he always sought the counsel of the Lord. And he always asked two questions. Should I and will you? Should I go into battle and will you give me good success? All the time. And in life, we need to learn how to ask these two questions. Should I and will you? Should I marry this person and will you bless this marriage? Do I take this job and will you bless me? Should I go in this direction and will you favor me? If you learn these things, I'm telling you, God will protect you. I read a testimony from Ravi Zacharias. I know that at the end of his life, there were some issues and there was a flaw in his life.
But you know, we can learn from people, amen? So I want to use a testimony, and I hope that you don't get offended with this. He shared about how he never excelled in school, so he thought to join the Indian Air Force. 300 applicants, only going to select 10. He was number 3 in the class. And so he went for the interview. And the interviewing officer said, "Ravi, I'm going to reject you." And he was devastated. And he says, "Why are you rejecting me?" And the man says, "You're a good man, but you don't have the killer instinct that we need in our pilots." He was shattered, but he knew that what that man said was true. And so the door closed. And shortly after that door closed, ladies and gentlemen, you know that if the door had opened to him, he would have spent the next 20 years in the Air Force and we would have never heard of his name. But because the door closed, within a few months, another door opened to him and all of a sudden launched him into a worldwide ministry with global impact. That's the lesson we can learn from this, right? I look back at my own life and I realize that the hand of God has been guiding me. It's divine providence all through. The Lord chose my course, study, in university. He made it very clear to me. I'm telling you this, all I could think about was estate management. He said, "I want you to study estate management. That's what I want you to study." So I studied estate management. Ladies and gentlemen, in the third year of my university, the company I was going to work for came to my university. They were looking for a few future employees. I was offered a job in my third year in my university, and the Lord had already put it in my heart that this is where He wanted me to work. I never had to apply for a job in my entire life. I never had to write a resume ever. I don't have an investment account in my life. I don't have stocks. I don't have shares. I have no insurance. I don't have a LinkedIn account. People have said to me, "Pastor Young, you should get a LinkedIn account. You need to be connected." Are you kidding me? I've got the greatest connector living inside of me. Hallelujah. I don't have to need any LinkedIn account. I am blessed beyond my wildest imaginations. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You listen, my friend, naked I came into the world, naked I will return. I won't make the mistake that Solomon made. Life is not a vanity. Life is not a drudgery. Life is a probation period to prepare me with the life with my Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Brother Bailey always used to say to me, he said the angels, when he says, when I meet the angels in heaven, they always say to me, "Tell the people that this life is only a probationary life. It's to prepare you for the real life that we are to live." Ladies and gentlemen, I will say it one more time. The goal of this life is to ensure that you live with Jesus in the next. Amen. After graduation, I worked 6 years in the secular company. And when the right time came, the Lord said, "It is time to leave." I stepped into full-time ministry 1990 at the age of 30. It's been 36 years. I don't regret one moment the life that He has chosen for me. I still thank God every single day that He called me into ministry. I tell you, this is the greatest privilege I have. But I tell you, everything that we see here happening in this church, everything that we see happening in our CGN in the nations, the Bible College of Wales, the expansion, our CCS, all the things that were happening, the APCCS and every other organization. Listen, all of that was determined and predicated on the decision I made to quit my job. And that was the starting point of everything in my life. Has it been easy? It is never easy. It is never easy. But when you learn to take His yoke on you, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Amen. I said this before, you know, somebody asked, Pastor said, you know, Pastor Young, this being a pastor is a walk in the park. He didn't say it was a Jurassic Park. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I was in school, I wasn't a very strong student. I was a C plus, maybe, all right? Barely making it in class. I remember after my A levels, the Navy invited me to apply for a scholarship that would involve me signing on with them and training in Dartmouth, the famous naval school in the United Kingdom. My father had just died, so I consulted my uncles if I should take up the offer. They were very enthusiastic. They said, "Go for it." It was an attractive door, but I tell you that it didn't sit well with me, even at that age. I just knew, and this is not for me. So I turned it down, and boy, oh boy, I would have been a disaster if I accepted the job. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord did not call me to be Popeye the Sailor Man. Amen. Hallelujah. Just before I accepted my job offer, another job offer came to me in the form of a scholarship
from a government agency, and that door was very attractive. And the Lord said, no, if I had taken that job, things would have been very, very different. Then I, you know, went into full-time ministry. And then in 1995, he spoke to me so clearly to leave the denomination that we were in. It was a very tough decision, but I knew I had to make that decision. And it sealed our destiny. We could have never accomplished what we accomplished if we had stayed in the denomination. You know, there have been many doors that have been opened to me over the past few years, last 36 years of my life, and wonderful doors that have led to tremendous fruitfulness. You know, Orchard Towers has been a tremendous blessing. We've got over 2,000 people there now. God's blessing the ministry. A lot of people getting saved, a lot of new works that are happening, a lot of visitors that are coming, a lot of interesting people that are showing up at Orchard Towers. It's just a wonderful, fruitful ministry that God has given to us. But one of the doors I want to mention that has been great blessing is the Bible College of Wales. It is a door that we stumbled in 2011, and God called us to purchase it and redeem it, and it's been one of the greatest blessings. 21 cohorts of students have graduated, and they've gone into the world, and they've become such a great blessing. And the Bible College has a community now that's becoming a powerhouse in prayer. I tell you this, one day what God did in Rees Howells will happen again in the Bible College of Wales. Amen. God opened a very effective door for us, and I am very grateful for all that God has done. Someone give God the praise offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel today that the Lord has a word for you today. I said in the first service, this burden that I feel, some of you are heading in the wrong direction. Some of you are spiraling down. You know yourself. You are not going to heaven if you live the life that you're continually living, you know, and you're messing around and playing a fool and all kinds of silly things in your life. And if you keep on doing your direction and don't repent, you will not see heaven. You will not see heaven. Don't you think? I raised my hands 25 years ago. That means nothing, my friends. That means nothing if you don't have a daily, continual walk with Jesus. My friends, I feel like the Holy Spirit is warning us through this word today. Turn around. Turn around and come up the mountain of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to just take a different direction. You know, prior to electronic navigation, there was a certain harbor in Europe that could only be reached by sailing up a narrow channel sandwiched by dangerous rocks and shoals. Over the years, ships have been shipwrecked trying to get and navigate through that channel, very hazardous. So to guide the ship safely to port, the harbor authorities erected three large lights mounted on poles. And when those tree lights were in perfect alignment and all you see is one light, then you know that the ship can sail and navigate up the channel. But if the lights are not in alignment, then the pilot knows that he's off course, the ship is in danger. So what he must do, he must continually maneuver his vessel until all the tree lights are perfectly lined up before he can move forward and turn the vessel into harbor. Same way, God has provided us three beacons of light to guide us, and we must ensure that these three lights are in perfect alignment before it is safe for us to proceed up the channel of life. These are the three harbor lights of guidance. Number one, God's word, the word of God. That's our objective standard. Number two, the Holy Spirit, which is our subjective witness. And number three, circumstances, which is divine providence. And together, these three beacons will ensure that we are making the right decision. I want to talk about the first one, the beacon. Number one, the word of God. This is our objective witness. The word of God is the supreme criteria in our guidance. My friends, you don't have to experiment with life. There is a blueprint in the Bible. It's there. If you learn to read it, I'm telling you, God will show you what you need to do and what His plans are for you. It's all in the Word of God. There is a blueprint. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp is a little light that guides you step by step, and the light is to shine away so that you don't veer off course. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, it's an interesting chapter in the Bible, and Peter was describing to the people his experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh my goodness, he said, we saw the glory of God. We saw Moses and Elijah. We saw the Lord transforming. We saw we heard the voice of heaven. It was amazing. It was wonderful. But he said this in verse 19. He said, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure. He said, in spite of all these wonderful experiences, there's something greater than my own personal experience. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to honor the word of God. The Bible is the unadulterated, infallible, and unchanging word. Hallelujah. And Jesus testified, Moses, surely I say to you, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the law will any by pass away until the law is fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I bet jet lagged now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you study electronics or if you study whatever subject, medicine, if you study, you know, you won't pick up a book that was 10 years old, right? Or 20 years old. Because even 5 years old, you know, you won't pick up those books because the way knowledge has increased so quickly, right? And but when it comes to the human soul, how to deal with the human nature, how to deal with the sinful nature, the Bible is the gold standard. It never goes out of style. In the past 2,000 years, no new sins have been discovered that the Bible has not already addressed. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible is so applicable to us, because God does not deal with a Singaporean problem or an American problem. It deals with a human nature problem. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Beacon number two, very quickly, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The most fundamental thing about the voice of the Holy Spirit is that it will never contradict the Word of God. God will never tell you to abort your baby. He will never tell you to do anything that is sinful. He will never tell you to end your life prematurely. He will never tell you that being in an LGBTQ relationship is right. Amen. God will never say anything to you that does not line up with the Word of God, period. In all our vehicles, we have something called a built-in GPS. In the olden days, this is when they first introduced the GPS. There was a voice in the GPS when you made a wrong turn. And the voice will say, recalculating. So, you know, it's the voice is not mad at you. The voice is not angry at you. It's just recalculating the best way to get you back on track. It's the same with God. You know, somebody said God is one of the names of God is Jehovah Recalculator. Hallelujah. When you're off course and off in your direction, He's not angry with you. He's not mad at you. He's just recalculating your current trajectory so that you can get back on course. Amen. And that's what Isaiah 30 and 21 is all about. You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to your right hand and whenever you turn to your left hand. Contrary to what a lot of Christians think, God is not talkative. When you're in the right direction, He doesn't tell you every 5 minutes, right direction, right direction. Doesn't do that. You just keep moving in the right. But it's when you turn to the wrong direction, that's when you will hear a voice behind you say, now you need to turn back to the right direction. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Small things, you know, if not corrected, can become big things. And we got to learn that the Holy Spirit will never contradict the written word. He never acts outside of or in contradiction with the scriptures. Beacon number three, and I'll close with this, divine providence, circumstances, where God guides, He always provides. All He needs is to do sometimes is to pull the rug of provision from under us to stop us dead in our tracks. You know, divine providence can come in many ways. It can come in protection. I remember a friend of mine told me this amazing story that he was in Singapore and he was going to go back to Sri Lanka, Colombo, on the 26th, listen to this, 26th of December, 2004. But due to divine providence, he was led to extend his stay by one more evening and postpone the flight. If he had been on the flight, he would have been a dead man because the next day was the tsunami. And it hit, I was in Sri Lanka 2 weeks after the tsunami. I'm telling you, there was devastation as far as the eye can see. You see nothing. You keep on driving and driving and driving, and all you see is devastation, devastation. And God protected him, and he heard and he obeyed. That's divine providence. Amen. That's why it's important for us to always make sure that we have these tree lights lined up. You know, oftentimes when you say things like, I heard God speak to me. Do you have a word? Do you have a word? What's the circumstances that God is providing in your life? Amen. Amen. And so we got to make sure that we are careful about this. You know, I'll close with a quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She said, "The Lord makes us wait. Wait. He keeps us in the dark on purpose. He makes us walk when we want to run, sit still when we want to walk, for he has things to do in our souls that oftentimes we are not interested in." Think about this for a few moments. The Lord wants to do something inside of us. So don't be too quick and be in a rush. You know, in Singapore, we're also busy. We need to learn how to rest, because God never blesses busy. He blesses rest. Amen. Let's all stand in the presence of God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to appeal to you today, my friends. There are people in this room right now that are headed to hell and you don't even know it. You don't have eternal life abiding in you. You don't have Jesus inside of you. You know, you come to church, maybe even pay your tithes. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, I sense there are people here today that need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and to not just make a decision and raise your hands. That's not enough. You must repent of your sins. You must realize how much a sinner you are. You must realize how much you grieved him. You must realize the price that he paid for you at Calvary. You must realize what God did for you, my friends. He died on the cross for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. He didn't do it lightly or cheaply. He died for you. And some of you here today, you keep ignoring him. You keep ignoring him. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you, but you don't listen to him. And I'm telling you this, after a while, he's going to stop speaking to you. Some of you are sitting down here. You've not heard God speak to you for many years. For many years. You've not heard the voice of God. You've not heard God speak into your heart. And you are lost as lost can be. And you think that you come to church and you call yourself a Christian and you think that you're going to go to heaven, but your life is spiraling down towards hell. And I'm sent here by God today to warn you, turn around, turn around, make that 180 degree change, turn around and return back to the flock. Hallelujah. Return back to the lover of your soul, my friends. Oh, come on, my friends. I feel today the burden of the Holy Spirit upon this congregation. The Lord warning all of us, all of us. You can say that you are righteous, but if you don't live righteously, you're deceiving yourself. That's what the Apostle John says. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie and do not walk according to the truth. And so, my friends, today, with your eyes closed and your head bowed, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want hands raised. And after that, you put your hands down and you walk out. And, you know, I want to see real change. I want to see God doing a deep work in your life. I want you to change. I don't want you to stay the way you are. I want God to do a work in your life. Oh, my friends, I said to my wife just now in the meeting yesterday, I was praying for a lot of people. There was a long queue, and I was praying for people. And you know what the number one problem was? Pastor, can you pray for my eyes? Something wrong with my eyes. Pastor, can you pray for my eyes? I see double vision. Pastor, can you pray? People have, a lot of people in this church have eye problems, and it's a sign that you need to tweak your vision back to God. It's a sign that our eyes, your eye is not looking at the things that God wants you to see. But oh, Rama Mashondaya Rama, will you just give your heart to Jesus right now? Will you just say, Lord Jesus, I am going to make a decision to follow you. I am going to make a decision every morning when I get up to spend time with you. I am going to read the Bible, and I'm going to let the Bible read me. I am going to pray every day. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit have his way in my life. I don't want to ignore the Holy Spirit anymore. I don't want to be disobedient anymore. Come on, my friends. It's high time. Don't let something happen in your life. Don't let something happen in your life for you to change. Let God change you right now. Huramashandai.
I will build my life up.
Just repeat this one more time. The goal of this life is to make sure that you have lived with Jesus in the next life. If that doesn't happen, you wasted your life. The moment you breathe your last breath and you have this sinking feeling and you feel you're going downwards towards hell, there is no more chance for you. There is no more chance. No more chance. No more chance. And you feel your spirit going down into Hades. Oh, my friends, Hurama, I can tell you this, that is going to be the worst thing that you're going to experience in your life, because you know that you're going to be forever separated from the Savior, from Jesus Christ. So again, I ask you, do you have eternal life abiding in you? Do you have eternal life abiding in you? It's a yes or no answer. And if you don't have eternal life abiding in you, make that decision right now, right here, right now. Say, Jesus, I am sorry. I repent of my sin. I won't tell you come to Jesus and He's going to give you a great life and God has a great plan for you. I won't say that anymore. I'm telling you this, we need to repent of our sins if we're going to see the insides of heaven. And this repentance has to be a daily repentance. Every morning, I ask the Lord to wash me with His blood. Every morning, it's a daily reflection on my own personal life. Am I walking with Jesus? Am I living in the areas of sin in my life that needs to be repented? Just pray for a few moments, everybody.
Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God is for everyone. But I really do sense today that there is a special drawing for the women in the church. I do not know why. Maybe things have happened in your life, but I just want to read the scripture in Psalms 51. And God wants to draw you back, all of us, but especially the women this morning. And you know, David himself wrote this, and I want to read exactly the words in scripture. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." You know, it says here, your presence, your Holy Spirit, your salvation, your generous spirit, your ways, convert me to you. And maybe we have lost the joy of His salvation, how He has saved me, how He has redeemed me, how He has done all that He has done in and through my life all these years. And I've forgotten the joy of this salvation. And the Lord wants to renew that. The Lord wants to restore that. The Lord wants to bring you back. Bring you back to that place where you know Him, when you love Him, to restore restore. Father, so I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, for all of us. I pray especially for the women, Lord. Father, who have maybe drifted, Lord. I pray, Father, restore, Lord, the joy, Lord, of your salvation, that our help is in you, our hope is in you, our refuge is in you. We run into you, Lord. It is you, it is you, it is you, Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Lead them, guide them, Lord. Like your word says, Lord, this is the way to go. This is the way to go, turn ye. That we will heed, Lord, the voice of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
So, Father, we pray today, Lord, as we close this meeting, that our eyes will be not on the things of this world, Lord. You said, Lord, if we love this world, and if we love the things of this world, then we cannot have the love of the Father. It's impossible. These two things are diametrically opposite. If we love this world, Lord, I pray that we will live this life hating this world, Lord. Hating the things of this world, the spirit of the world, but loving people, Lord. Loving the things that you love and hating the things that you hate, oh God. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would break over this house, Lord. Everything that ties us down to this world, Lord. Whether it's a new house or whether it's a whatever it might be, I know we need these things, God. But let our eyes and our hearts not be on these things, Lord. For where our heart is, there our treasure. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So let our treasure be in heaven, O God. Let our treasure be in heaven, Lord. Let our desires all be rooted in heaven, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hurashaya makaya ba, hura mashaya mama. I stand here today and I tell you, this is my testimony. God has been good to me. I trust Him. He is going to pull me through. Amen. I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands. And I want to speak the blessings of God over your life right now. I know that when I pray this prayer, the benediction, that God releases His blessings over you. Would you raise your hands to receive? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and grant you His peace. And so may the Lord put His name upon you forevermore. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Before we close the meeting, Lord, if you have prayer needs, if you have something that you need to be ministered to, please come to the front. The team is waiting for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Let's give God praise.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.